Now, when I was growing up, there was this saying that went kind of like this: sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? You guys have heard that before. And this saying might be a really easy way to try to help someone to get over something, maybe something that was hurtful that was said to them, but it's not always that easy. And by the way, I don't use that phrase on the kids. The saying should probably be changed to sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can also hurt me. And I think that's probably a truer statement of that phrase. And as strong as some of us might think we are, as resilient as we think we are mentally, there will be times when people say negative things about us, and we will remember them. There'll be hurtful things that people say. There'll be negative things that people say. And for me especially, and probably for a lot of people, we remember the bad things more than we remember the good things that people say. So when someone compliments me, or when someone says, "Hey, I like your glasses today." I don't know. I'm just making something up. I won't remember that as much as if someone says, "Hey, your glasses look really bad today." Again, I'm trying to make stuff up right now. But the negative things seem to stick with us more than the positive things. And research shows that people do remember negative memories better and longer than the positive ones. I still remember a bad memory from when I was a child. I remember my grandmother would talk with her friends, and a lot of times the subject of what they talked about was me. And I was probably pretty young, so they didn't think that I understand too well what they were talking about. They were talking in Cantonese also, so maybe they didn't think I understood Cantonese as well as I did. I know a little bit. But there was a time when my grandmother would say to her friend, or my grandmother's friends would say to her, "Oh, Caleb's such a nice kid. He's such a well-behaved kid." And then I remember my grandmother responding, "Oh, Caleb's not that good. He's actually pretty naughty." And I remember hearing that, and I remember going to my parents and saying, "Mom, Dad, Grandma told me that I was a naughty kid, that I'm a bad kid. Is that true?" And I had not done nothing, actually. But I think that my parents talked with my grandmother, and she never said it again. Not that I could remember. Not while I was there. Now, was I a perfect kid? No, I was not a perfect kid. Was I naughty sometimes? Yes, I was naughty sometimes. But my grandmother was using something called false humility and exaggeration in order to maybe appear more humble in front of her friends, to make her look maybe not as her family, not as awesome as her friends thought. It's kind of a false humility. And as a child, I didn't know the difference. And these negative words, these negative words of "Caleb's a naughty kid," "Caleb's a bad kid," they stuck with me. I still remember them right now. I ended up turning to my parents for help because I was only a kid. But I want you guys to think of the times when you have bad things happen, bad things said to you, bad things said about you. Who do you turn to? Who do you go to when this happens? Do you tell your friends? Maybe you tell a family member, your counselor. Do you try to say bad things back to them? I'd never do that to my grandmother. But do you try to say bad things back at the other person, maybe to get revenge? Maybe you believe the negative words. Maybe at some point I really did believe that I was a really bad kid. And maybe I could have internalized them and turned those negative thoughts inside on myself. What do you do when people say horrible things about you? I'm going to go through a passage and King David has an answer for us on what he does when horrible things are said about him. And King David, if you look at his life, you can see that there were a lot of bad things said about him. There were a lot of people who were against him. There were plenty of people who didn't like him. And he gives us a peek into what possibly we could do when people say bad things about us. So in your bulletins, in Psalm 4, if you can follow along with me. Psalm 4, verse 1, it says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." And we see that David ultimately turns to God for help. For him, maybe he could have turned to his friends. Maybe he could have turned to his wife or his family, or maybe he turned to one of his counselors as a king. But ultimately, David turned to the only one he knew could help him, which is God. He turned to God for help. He calls on God for relief in his time of distress, as he says. And what's this distress that David needs relief from? We can get a clue in the next verse of what this distress is. Psalm 4, verse 2 says, "O men, how long shall my honor be turned to shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" So I think this is a picture of what this distress is. David saying, "God, help me, I'm in distress." And then he addresses the people who are the source of his distress. "O men, you guys, you men who have turned my honor into shame." And how have they turned his honor into shame? It says, "You guys use vain words," which are unproductive and useless words, "and you guys use lies." And they were probably directed towards David. "You guys say bad things about me. You guys say negative things about me. You guys say useless things about me. And you guys lie about me." This is where this psalm is taking place. And it appears that these people are speaking bad things. They're speaking useless things. That's what vain means. They're using unproductive words, and they're speaking lies about David. And it's causing him to feel shame. It's causing him to feel humiliation. And it's causing him to feel disrespected and dishonored. "How long shall my honor be turned into shame?" He's feeling really bad about himself. David is. And I believe it's causing tension, and it's causing hurt. It's causing pain, and he's crying out to God because he says, "God, I need relief." Because more than likely, he's feeling that pain. He's feeling hurt, and he's feeling the tension of people in front of him talking about him, talking bad things about him, lying to him. There are times in our lives when people around us will do just exactly that, where people will talk about us. They'll say horrible things about us, make fun of us. They'll bully us with their words. They'll gossip about us behind our backs. They'll hurt us in using their words. I attended a church service one time where the speaker went up. Well, he didn't really go up. It was surprising to me because that day the speaker was carried up on stage. And the reason why he was carried up on stage was because the speaker had no arms and no legs. So he was literally one of the ushers carried him up onto the stage. And his name is Nick Vujicic. You guys might know him because he's kind of popular now. But he was born with no arms and no legs. And I remember that he shared his story with us of how he was made fun of at school. Because obviously, if you have no arms and no legs, it's probably pretty easy to make fun of someone like that. And he became lonely. He says he became really depressed. And at one point, he said that when his parents left him alone for a minute in the bathtub, he decided that he was going to put his face in the water and that he was going to kill himself because he just felt so much pain and so much hurt. No one had hit him. No one has physically abused him. He had loving mother, loving father, but the words that his friends said to him at school, those were what caused him to want to kill himself. There are times when people will gossip and say bad things about us behind our backs, make us look bad in front of other people. There's one youth who came to my office one time. He had gotten in trouble at school, and he knew he shouldn't have done what he did, and he said sorry. He served his punishment. The school let him continue on, but a lot of people at his school found out that he got in trouble, and they started spreading rumors about him, how he was a troublemaker. They started spreading rumors about how they shouldn't be friends with him. People shouldn't be friends with this guy because he would get in trouble. And if you hung out with him, you might also get in trouble from the principal and from the teachers. And he came into my office and he was pretty much crying in my office. He said, my friends all talk about me and talk bad about me. I just got in trouble one time. I served the punishment. I knew what I did was wrong. And now all my friends talk about how horrible of a person I am. And they don't want to be my friend anymore. And he felt betrayed. He felt like his friend stabbed him in his back. And his friends weren't talking to him anymore. He was just kind of by himself at school. And in a little bit, I'll tell you what happens in what ends up happening with these two stories. But I want to continue on with what David does when it comes to people talking about him, people lying to him, people saying bad things about him. So how does King David respond to these people? David appears to talk to the people who are talking bad about him. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, it says, David's talking to the people who are accusing him and bad-mouthing him. I don't actually think he's talking to them. I think he's talking to God about them. But in Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call him, when I call to him." David knows that he's innocent. And whatever lies or accusations these people are speaking against him, he knows that he's not guilty, that he's innocent. And since he knows that he's innocent, he also knows that God is on his side. He can say the words, "The Lord hears when I call on him," because God, the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. I know I'm innocent, and God hears me because I'm innocent. And since he knows that he's innocent, he knows that God is on his side. It says in the Psalm that the Lord supports those who are godly and honest. And David continues on in verse 4 and 5 he gives advice to his bullies. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord." Now, did David just tell his opponents to be angry? It seems like he did in verse 4. And the phrase "be angry" here is translated in the New International Version as "tremble," which I think it's more fitting for the passage. It's possible to tremble in anger, but it's also possible to tremble in front of God, which I think is more accurate here. So this kind of trembling is a trembling in front of God because God is the one who sees everything. God is the one who is the judge of what happens. David encourages his accusers to be humble in front of God, to tremble in front of God as they quietly think about what they're doing. David's saying, "Hey, you bullies, you accusers, you enemies, think about what you're doing. Tremble in front of God. Be humble in front of God. Do you realize what you're doing? And do you realize what God thinks about what you're doing? Sit quietly on your bed and think about what you're doing." And then he says in verse 5, "Be careful to offer right sacrifice to the Lord and trust in him." What he's suggesting is that his accusers should think about what God thinks about their actions. They should do right. They should stop lying. They should stop bullying people with their words. They should stop accusing people falsely and using vain and unproductive and useless words and making fun of people. That's what David is saying, that you guys know what you're doing. You guys realize that when you do this, you're not offering proper worship to God. You're sinning. And you're using hurtful and slanderous words. Now, David does something that I think is very useful. He talks with God about the people. You should also talk to God about those people. It's good to do that. God sees the pain that their words cause. And it's not a bad idea to follow David's example of talking to God about those people who have hurt you. It's the reason why many people go to counselors and talk to counselors, because they want to talk it out. They want to get it off their heart. And counselors can only do so much. But if you talk to God, he's the one who could do amazing things about your situation. So bring it to God. He's your counselor. Talk to God about what's happening, what those people are saying about you, the lies that they say. And then David calls out to God in verse 6. He says, "There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good?'" And it's almost like asking, all these people are saying bad things about me. Who will say some good things? And the answer is that the Lord is the one who will show us good. God is the one who will say good things about us. Who will say good things about us? And the answer is the Lord. "Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." David found his rest, and David found his peace in God. He didn't let negative words, he didn't let those lies, those accusations, he didn't let them affect his joy. He prioritized God's words over those other people's words. And God's words to him filled him with joy, filled him with peace, and filled him with safety. For that guy with no arms and no legs, Nick, he ends his testimony with, "He turned to God." He turned to God in his time of despair. He ended up not killing himself. He didn't drown himself. He turned back over, and he decided that he would put his trust in God. And you can look him up. He now shares pretty openly about his faith, about Jesus, and how he was saved from hurtful words, just words, because he found power through trusting in Jesus. The teenager who was in my office broke down crying. We prayed together. I told him we should pray about this situation. "I know your friends are stabbing you in the back. I know you're feeling like you're really betrayed right now." And I encouraged him that God knows the truth about who he is. And so we prayed about it. And I'm not going to tell you that he miraculously felt peace and safety right then and there. But a few weeks later, he tells me that the rumors stopped, that his friends pretty much forgot about it. They forgot about the incident. And they were friends again. That I guess that happens in high school. But when he came back to me and told me that, he said, "I thank God that he did that for me. I thank God that my friends are back, that they speak nicely to me now. They don't spread rumors and gossip about me behind my back anymore." And he gave credit to God for turning that situation around for his good and for his benefit, so that his friends are back and he's happy about it. There's also someone else in the Bible that I want you to give you an example of. And he's the perfect example of trusting in God when people were saying horrible things about him. And his name is Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is our ultimate example of someone who trusted in his heavenly Father, even when people were saying all sorts of bad things about him. In Luke 6, the Jewish leaders called Jesus and his disciples lawbreakers, criminals, even though he wasn't a criminal. Can you imagine being called a criminal when you did nothing wrong? Now, he was being called a criminal because he was picking grain on the Sabbath. And according to the Jewish leaders' interpretation of the law, Jesus was breaking the law. But Jesus, knowing the law himself, he knew that he was not breaking the law. And he told them, I'm not breaking the law. My disciples are not breaking the law. You guys are accusing me wrongly of being a criminal, of breaking the Jewish laws, and I'm not. Jesus had to take those accusations and those lies and had to deal with them himself also. In John 10, his own people called him a demon. His own people said that he had a demon inside of him and that he was crazy, that he was not mentally stable. This Jesus, he's crazy. He says crazy things. He probably has a demon inside of him. Jesus had to take those words also. He knew he did not have a demon inside of him. He knew he wasn't crazy. But those words from his own people, from the people that he saw every day, he had to take those and had to deal with them also. In Matthew 27, while Jesus was being led away to be tortured and finally killed, you know what his people did to him? They made fun of him as he was chained up, as he was being tortured, and as he was being led away to die. They just made fun of him. Oh, look at him. He could save other people, but he can't even save himself. Those are the types of things that Jesus experienced. Those words, those hurtful and painful words. Jesus was mocked. He was scorned. He was ridiculed. He was cursed at, and even more. There were many people who opposed him. There were many people who said terrible things about him. But Jesus found peace and safety in the only place that you can find peace and safety, and it's in his Heavenly Father, in God himself. He rested in God's goodness for him. It says in John chapter 5 that Jesus says, I can't do anything on my own because I seek not my will, but the will of him who sent me. In other words, he can only do what God tells him to do, and he only follows what God tells him to do. He found rest, and he found joy, and he found safety in following God and in trusting in him. And that's how Jesus was able to get through his own people, his own family members, his own friends, his own disciples betraying him, his all of the people making fun of him. That's how Jesus was able to go through all of those hurtful words, because he depended on his Heavenly Father. He was a human. He could feel our pain. And he also was human because he needed God's help and he needed God's guidance. We also cannot overcome the pain and the hurt of people's words all by ourselves. Now, some of us may try to kind of power through it, to maybe we try to do mental tricks to ourselves that maybe what they said was not real, or maybe you just kind of turn something on in your head and say, oh, I don't care about what they said, when in fact you keep remembering and remembering and remembering what they said. We cannot overcome the pain and the hurt of what people say all by ourselves. Our sinful human nature will lead us to dangerous areas of despair, depression, anger, worry. All of those, that's natural inside of us. That sinful human nature is natural inside of us, and it'll lead us straight towards despair, depression, anger, worry, resentment, offense, all of those things. That's where we're headed without Jesus' help. And many of you know what I'm talking about. You feel that you might be on the road towards those things. But if you are on the road towards those things, there's an answer, there's a solution, and that's in Jesus, and that's in God. He can take all your worries, all of that pain that people talked about, all those things that people talked to you about or talked about you, all of that hurt And you can put your faith in him. You can put your trust in him. And he will give, Jesus will give us his Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to give you power to be able to walk in peace, to be able to walk in security, because you know that God has different things to say about you. God has good things to say about you. You're his child. You're accepted. You are one of his own. You're loved. That's what God has to say about you versus what those people say about you. If you trust in God, if you trust in Jesus, if you give your life to him and you commit your life fully to him, he can give you that peace and that joy in the midst of horrible things being thrown at you, in the midst of terrible words being said about you. He can help you through those painful situations. As the new year is coming up, 2018 may have been a year that was marked with stress. Maybe it was marked with people's negative words. Maybe you remember negative words for a long time. Maybe it was the year 2000 that you still remember those words. Maybe those words were from good friends. Maybe they were from family members. Maybe they were from coworkers who you work with. Maybe they were from strangers. I don't know. But if any of you have any New Year's resolutions, I'd like to encourage you and challenge you to make this one of your New Year's resolutions. To when the time comes that accusations come, lies, words, negative words come at you, I would encourage you to go to God, to trust in him, to depend on him. Turn to him in the time of conflict and put your trust in Jesus, who has been through all of that ridicule and all of those hurtful words himself. He knows what you're going through. And he is strong enough to help you bear your burden. If you're struggling today with negative words being spoken to you, I want to pray for you. Whether it's from strangers, coworkers, friends, family, or even family members, whether it's yesterday or whether it's 20 years ago, I want you to know that God has the power to give you peace. God has the power to make you feel safe. And God has words for you that are very different than the words of those people. So if you're experiencing that today, I simply want you to put your hands face up in your lap, like you're receiving a gift, and I want to pray for you. If you're experiencing that and you want prayer and you want God and you want to commit to God and say, God, I trust you for that situation, just simply put your hands like face up on your lap, and I want to pray for you now. Okay, so let's pray together. I'm just going to give maybe a few seconds of silence. Father, I want to pray for those who are have their hands palm up right now. Lord, you know the words that were spoken to them, or maybe even spoken about them. God, you know that those words hurt, that they were painful. Maybe they weren't physically painful, but they were painful inside. And Lord, I know that sometimes we carry these burdens for years. We carry the memories, those negative memories, for many years. And we want to be free from those. We want freedom from the pain. the hurt, from the damage of those words. And we know that you're the only one who can free us from those words. So Jesus, we trust in you. We commit our lives to you. We know that you give us your spirit inside of us to live and dwell inside of us, that we will have power to overcome any obstacle. God, you don't want us to live in anger. You don't want us to live in self-loathing and self-hate. You don't want us to live with offense and resentment towards other people and depression and despair. You don't want us to live that way. You want us to live in joy and peace and safety. So, Father, we give that situation up to you. We give those people up to you. We forgive them of their hurtful words. We place those words, those burdens, and we place them on your shoulders, Jesus. And we say that they're not ours anymore, and that they're yours, and you can take care of them. And I pray, Lord, that your peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, and that you will give us your joy, that we could live in harmony and live in unity with other people around us, because we know that we have forgiven. We've been forgiven, and we can forgive anyone who says those things about us. So help us, Lord. Give us renewed energy for 2019. I pray, Lord, that if there's ever anyone who comes against us or accuses us or lies about us, that we can approach them with your power, with your might, and that we can give those things to you. We lift this time up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You all stand with us for our final song.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dream. Laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, I'm singing at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss, the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name. Know the lasting joy you're sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you.
pray for us. God, we thank you for the new year. We pray, Lord, that we thank you also that you've called us new. You've called us new creations. And as a new year begins, we ask, Lord, that you would remind us that we are new creations in you, that we are sanctified by your blood, that we have become greater, more than conquerors through you. So we pray, Lord, that as we go out, you would help us. We trust in you and we depend on you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, I'll be up here in the front.